Okay. So I've been a member of my area. Well, let's just say back then it was called public information and phone lines. That's what it was called back. And a member sitting over there that was the chair at that time when I came rolling in there 60 days clean. You know, our area, since I'm going to talk about our area quite a bit because that's my experience, and we enjoy a lot of success in the public relations service efforts in our area. Our subcommittee averages 20 to 22 members in our subcommittee of public relations every month, and that is by far the most in our region. And the reason why we have such an abundance is because we welcome and mentor newcomers. We use an idea where, and this is how I got started in my niche of service, is I'm 60 days clean and I'm in a meeting and somebody goes, I nominate Bob to be a PI rep. And I said, what's PI? Just go to the area, Bob. And that's what I did. I said, okay, I'm off for a whole year. I got to take this commitment. Yep. So, you know, it's 60 days clean. That was my first introduction to service and commitment. You know, and I did it, you know, and I was committed. And I went to the area and I went to the PI meeting. And I said, okay, after the, you know, and I'm just, I don't know nothing. But I did remember walking in the area going, you know, I was wide-eyed looking around and going, wow, this is where all the big dogs go. you know, all those people that when you're a newcomer, then you hear the recovery that just shakes your spirit. You know, I noticed those people that were sharing real recovery were the same people that were doing service in Narcotics Anonymous. That's what I'm trying to say. So I went to the meeting, you know, and I can remember saying, okay, just after everybody was done, now tell me what I need to report. That's all I need to know. Tell me what I need to say at my meeting, you know, because in our area, you're going to hear a GSR report and you're going to hear a PR report. That's how we do it in our area, because then that's how we give the newcomer a chance to be in service with no clean time requirement. And they get to do a report about our public relations efforts in an Empire West. As far as how we transitioned from PI to PR, and this is a controversial topic in many areas, or at least in our area, in our region. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of how it happened and about the PR handbook. This PR handbook right here came from the Seattle WSLD of 2006. I remember walking into this meeting. It was a big meeting, and it was run by the World Service. And the woman, I forgot her name right now, but she's been in the world for many years, and I didn't see her tonight or this weekend. But she had a stack of 100 PR handbooks, and she gave them out to us. And they're the first 100 PR handbooks printed off the press. So I got this thing for free, the first 100. And then she told us the Guide to Public Information is no longer being printed. This is your new guide, she told us. And I can remember some of the members saying, and she pointed out this part about the PR umbrella, and she said, now some of you guys now can become PR. And I can remember, and she said, and you can combine H and I into your subcommittee and become a PR umbrella. And some of the members go, what? H and I combined in with PI and become PR? And there's people, I can remember the uproar going on in the room, you know, just the controversy and no way, we can't do that. You know, and you know what happened is, and I remember the Northern California region, their region became PR. Like, and some of the other regions around the western states immediately jumped on it and became PR and started combining their services. I got to credit Northern California for influencing me with their service. Thank you, Northern California. They have affected me deeply. I used to go up to their conventions and I go to their workshops up there, and I was moved by how they developed and combined their services, becoming stronger. And I got, my spirit got moved by Northern California, and I came back down to Southern California, and I started wanting to do things like that. So I went to my area and I said, my name's Bob, I'm an addict. I said, we got a PR handbook right here. And we're already PI and phone lines. Let's just call, and we do directories, and we do website, and we do all these services together. Let's just call ourselves public relations. And I want to start working more with the PR handbook and the services that are in here. And I want to be more proactive and instead of being reactive. And I want to start creating and maintaining public relations with our community that we develop. And so I want to start focusing, you know, this is my motion. I want to make a motion that we change our name to public relations. And we did a group conscience and it happened. And then, you know, I mean, I became I started working in the region, and I actually tried to do the same thing with our region. And you know what happened? Boy, dude, it created an uproar. There's a lot of old timers that did not like it. They don't want to change. They did not want to become public relations. And you know, what happened though is like, I'd say, you know, a lot of the areas did. So now we're public information and public relations. We're like almost split. We've got like 8 or 9 areas that are public relations now in Southern California, and the rest of them are public information. It's interesting. East LA, they became public relations and didn't like it and changed back. So the paper that's that I've handed out to you talks about, and I'm trying to find the page in here. You know, this is Spiritual Principles, Effective Services, Chapter 3. Okay? That's a great chapter. Though for how many in here have not read the PR handbook? Okay. Please. I mean, I strongly recommend that you get a PR handbook and read it. It's a great, great piece of literature. And it clears a lot of things up, and there's a lot of principles in there that I love. Okay. Flexible service structures. Now that's on the back of the page that I handed out for you guys. Now, it talks in here. See, this thing is every area has to inventory themselves and think and ask themselves what's most effective for our area. And that's what it is. It's flexible. you can do anything you want, and as long as you're upholding the traditions and the concepts. You know, every area is autonomous, and you've got to decide what's best to effectively do your services. In our area, and this is Roger. I'm just going to introduce Roger. This is Roger. Roger is my partner in crime. Me and Roger have been doing service for many years. Whenever I do, I can always call Roger. Call Roger. You know, there's even a good punk song called Roger that I love to play. I play it for him. Who you gonna call?
Come on.
Roger. It is to me. let's see. Roger's our current vice chair of the public relations subcommittee, and you know, so we don't do service alone. You know, I don't do service alone, so I bring Roger along, and you know, he's got his two cents he could speak too. You know, and I'm not always talking, but I can talk a lot, huh?
Explain the difference between public information and public relations.
What is the Roger wants me to explain the difference between public relations and public information. That's not what the topic of this workshop's about, but we do digress into different topics. I noticed we talked about attraction versus promotion over in that last workshop, and that was an interesting thing. I probably can't fill up this whole hour, and so I'm gonna ask for participation and ask for you guys to ask questions and say your piece. To me, public information is disseminating information, where public relations is about creating and maintaining relationships. And to me, all of our services are public relations. And that means within our fellowship, internal public relations, as well as external public relations. I believe that outreach is public relations. I believe it. I think it is. It's internal public relations, you know, and that's, yeah, that's what I believe. And I think that it's all public relations, and that's why I like that first handout. I said all our services have to do with public relations. H&I, we're dealing with the public and with each other. So if you notice how we implement the umbrella in the Inland Empire West and our guidelines, those are guidelines, we need to redo them already. Those are 2014. It's pretty simple. We have a phone line coordinator. We have a PAC coordinator. We have a school presentation coordinator. One of the projects we've been doing.
Website coordinator,
that's right. We have an assistant phone line coordinator. One of the things that's not on those guidelines that we've been doing for about the last 4 or 5 years is the Welcome to Recovery workshop. That started out as a newcomer workshop where we approached our drug court. Actually, I did it for the WSLD 13. We needed a speaker for our community day, and I thought, oh man, I thought to myself, Judge Gilbert, you know, just immediately I thought Judge Gilbert, because man, this judge is so involved with helping addicts with his drug court, and I can remember being in my addiction and being in his court and watching him have compassion for addicts like nothing. I've ever seen a judge do that. Like, he cared about addicts. I almost cried right there in the courtroom watching this guy. And then, you know, So I went to another addict. I said, where's Judge Gilbert? Because she's in drug court. Oh, he's having a baseball game. And I went to the baseball game, and there he is. After the baseball game, he's barbecuing hamburgers, you know, for all his drug court members, you know. And I went up there, and this is a thank you, Northern California, once again, because I got the idea of the newcomer workshop, newcomer orientation from Sonoma County. And I called him up. I said, send me that newcomer orientation you guys do up there. And I didn't even have time to develop or nothing. I showed the judge. I go, look, I want to, you know, here you are. You're sending all these hundreds of addicts over to Narcotics Anonymous. What do you say we have a relationship? How can we help you? Here's an idea. What do you think about us doing a newcomer orientation for your clients? And he said, okay. He said, oh, just he was cooking. He didn't have time. Just put it over in my bag, you know. So I put it over in his bag, you know, and I followed up with another addict, and we went in right into his courtroom. He said, come on up here. We went right up to his bench, and he goes, okay, go to our drug court thing and talk to the woman at the drug court and explain what you want to do. So we did it. We set up a date every second Wednesday of the month, and it's on the back of that directory right there. Right there, it's open to the fellowship. This is an open workshop that any newcomer can come to. So, you know, we developed a PowerPoint because I went to a WSLD and I went to this workshop that said, I remember them saying, you know, learning is not only auditory, it's visual. You can learn better with visual as well as auditory. And I, bing, you know, I just went, oh, it's like, I call it God dropping a nugget in there. And I said, oh man, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, sorry I don't have a PowerPoint for you today. You know, but I didn't have time. So we did. We you know, and we took Sonoma County's their format, and we modified it to our area. We did an actual ad hoc, and this talks about ad hocs too. Doing our services. So that's just one of our services. Then we got a new coordinator for that. That's doing and the EIE, our neighbors. You know, because I keep in contact with the judge. How can we help you? Can we help you in any way? He said, yeah, you could do one in the east. So I said, all right, I got to call our area over there. You know, and the EIE is doing one. That's theirs is even bigger than ours. Okay. Yes, please.
This Welcome to Recovery workshop, is it well attended, number one, by the people that are involved in drug court?
It's not too bad. It's picking up lately. Sometimes, you know, it was pretty small. It was like, I've had it to where there's only like a couple people in there. But lately it's been about six or seven. So it's still pretty small. But, you know, and pretty much any, you know, you know, to me, if we save one addict, it's worth it.
Justice Addict, just as a point of clarification, you're not going to probably get large numbers at once, right? Because it's criminals that are being released into treatment, correct? Mm-hmm. So the numbers will probably remain minimal.
Right. But the one in the EIE, they get like 20 plus members.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
What's EIE?
But. It's the Eastern Indian Empire. We're the West, they're the East. You know, yeah, they're our neighbors, our beloved neighbors on the East, yeah. And we like to help each other. That's part of our services, too. Help your neighbor, you know.
Robert, do they provide this facility here, or is this an NA location? This
That's the drug court facility. They're over there doing their you know, their family classes and everything, but they get, when they come to our workshop, they get credit. So they get, you know, anybody that's new comes to our workshop, and they get to get marked off that they were.
And how many NA members are qualified to actually present this to them in your area?
Well,
we have like six members.
I try to get a man and a woman to do it, you know, so that the women can relate to the women, men can relate to the men. I've been doing it myself for the last 5 years because nobody else has stepped up to do it. Recently, we just got a guy that's taken over, and he's doing a great job. We make sure there's, we like in any public relations service, you need to do a lot of training. That's why we have service works in our region 3 times a year. And phone lines, when you take a phone slot, you got to learn. You got to have a phone. We have a phone line packet. We train all our phone slot holders to how to answer questions. You know, you learn by experience too. The same thing, you know, phone lines is really simple, similar to doing a PR booth. You know, you've got to know how to answer these questions and bridge it back to Narcotics Anonymous, bridge it back to the literature. Don't share your personal stuff, you know? Okay, this guy.
I had a question. Are there volunteers for those workshops, or are they assigned?
They're volunteers. We were seeking. Part of the PR reps is they're seeking volunteers. They're part of their report. We're seeking volunteers.
People that are showing up.
People
that are attending.
Okay. Is it
required them to go, or is it voluntary? I think it's voluntary. Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah, I don't notice them. When I notice them, are you new? I'll be at the beginning. They'll say, "Are you new?" And they'll say, "You could go over here." And they usually want to. You know, it's not. I don't think it's required. Yeah, I kind of wish it was. We might get more, but.
Bob, you mentioned not bringing our stories into this sort of thing. So you're more of a PI pitch than you are like an agent.
Depends. Depends on what we're doing. On the school presentations, we do what's called a split pitch, and even in this newcomer workshop, we do a semi split pitch. We'll, in a general way, we'll share a little bit of our personal experience. Especially with the kids in schools, because their ears perk up when they start identifying with an addict, especially young. We like to bring young addicts into the schools so that the kids can identify with the younger addict that's been recently where they may be or where they may know people that are there.
I'm sorry, I was referring to your Welcome to Recovery.
Okay,
Ronnie.
Same thing.
That one.
I'm just going to say, we're going to be doing a demonstration of this workshop at the Southern California region on Thanksgiving weekend. I'm going to be doing one at 12 o'clock on Saturday. So if any of you guys want to see it firsthand, go up there in Pomona.
How would we do it locally?
Hmm?
How would we see it locally?
How are you going to see it down here?
So this workshop is about the PR umbrella structure, and we've gotten really off into newcomer workshop. And
yeah.
I just want to say, workshop next year at WSLD, talk to me after this workshop. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, or talk to me after. I'll send you a PowerPoint. Be happy to email it to you.
Okay.
So, is there...
I have one question about this. Like, if I just am a newcomer and I pick up a meeting list, is this something I can go to?
Yes, sir, it is. Absolutely. It's open. That's why it's on the directory.
And do people go, like, more than once?
You can. It's open. It's on the directory. Anybody can go. You don't even have to be a newcomer.
It's not like a meeting, right?
It's a workshop. It's like NA 101. We talk about the steps, you know, what to expect in a meeting. You know, the reason why I didn't know it was going to get so much interest, but that's one of the services we do in our PR umbrella. Among everything else that we do, PACT, you know, which is parole and corrections team, where addicts go to, where those are required. Those are parolees off of parole that are required to go to these. And we provide directories and IPs, and we save a couple of minutes about Narcotics Anonymous there. So all of these are services that are under our umbrella. Let's see. I was afraid I might run out of time, but Roger, you got anything you want to add?
The public
to the mic. To the mic, brother.
The public umbrella is basically what we've done in our area is we've combined all the little subcommittees to make ours one large subcommittee. Where when we go to the area, instead of having phone lines do a report, instead of having the website do a report, instead of having all these different little subcommittees doing a report in our area to save time, and plus it boosted up our subcommittee, we have just the chair of public relations stand up and give a report on everything. Okay, that way is one center contact. And what this subcommittee has done is me and Bob are direct examples of what has happened with allowing a newcomer to have a commitment, a year-long commitment that's more than just coffee or whatever. You know, it's we both got started in public relations or public information back in the day. And, I think it was Corey and a few other people that actually designed this. And how it got designed is we only had a small subcommittee, like most areas that we've gone to. Me and Bob have traveled throughout our entire region just to see how other areas are doing it so that we can come back and discuss it with our committees. And that's very rare that you find four or five people in a public relations subcommittee. In fact, we have gone to other areas and tried to get them under this umbrella. And some areas have taken it, and some haven't. You know, but having that public relations rep in a meeting brings in a newcomer and shows them how to be of service. More than just a sponsor trying to harp on them, you know. Hey, man, you need to be of service. And go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, one of the best things about this is that we teach them Narcotics Anonymous. We don't teach them what's your story.
Exactly.
Traditions. You work out of the basic text. You talk about what Narcotics Anonymous is, not about what you think it is. Everything we do in state clearly represents is in black and white. Very simple. And that's the best part about it. How are they going to learn about Narcotics Anonymous? Just attend. Because that's everything that's done and everything that's created and everything that's expressed is right out of the basic text.
Yes.
It's black and white, very
simple. Just like what Corey's saying, there is no better way to learn about Narcotics Anonymous than public relations. Because public relations, you have to know the whole story of Narcotics Anonymous. You have to know where it started, where it's at today. You know, in a basic PI pitch. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to try to repeat these questions so it gets recorded. What do we got? Because we're missing out on what's being said out there when it's not said here.
So, understanding the current status of our area in San Diego, so we have all of these subcommittees that report at our regional service committee. That, in essence, gives them a voice. So now we have this voice that is going there and having individual, at our area, my area is Beach. So we have this, each one of these subcommittees now has a voice to the area.
Yes.
Okay, well, the concern that I have is that now you put this single block there, and now you have this area that now communicates to that sole entity, and then that sole entity now communicates upward. But where's that two-way communication that is missing?
Well, that's okay. So he's saying that his question is that reducing the report to the area to one voice instead of all the subcommittee voices is going to maybe lessen the communication. We do all our communicating within our subcommittee, and if phone lines has a concern, our phone line coordinator will express that concern, and we'll discuss it all together. That's that's the benefit of us being all together, is that we have more to input to develop our group conscience about the issues that are arising with a particular service. It gives us more. We each invite a loving God into our discussions. So, that concern or whatever would be, if there's a legitimate concern, then it will be brought up to the area for further discussion with the group, with the GSRs, because we always got to remember that GR serves the area.
PR chair would report that from
exactly.
The RFC to the subcommittees.
Exactly.
And they're informed as
that's
to
what I was just about
exactly.
to say.
Yeah.
If the chair himself could not answer the question that you are asking, he would bring that back to the subcommittee the very next week and either bring in the individual that needs to answer the question or get it answered in our subcommittee. Bring it back.
Okay, wow, I got a lot of hands. let's see. Wow, look at all them.
This is the struggles that you have to go through to get
okay.
this off the ground.
I'll start with this woman.
During an attic, my concern, okay, so part of where I'm from, you said Beach, I'm from the United East County, and we've got all these different subcommittees that are like one or two people that are suffering in the subcommittee. How do we get more encouraged? Like, what are some ways that I could be able to take it out there? Like, I'm the PI, but I know our PI is getting smaller. Like, how can I be able to go ahead and take it to the ASC and be like, hey, let's make an encouragement to put it together so that way we have, you know, all areas to, like, our, we don't have anybody for outreach, you know, how can we,
okay.
I'm gonna
let Steve talk right now. Steve, why don't you come up here, because their area recently became PR.
So that's my name's Steve. I'm an addict. That's exactly why we did that. Because let's face it, it's not apparent here, but there's an attenuating pool of willing addicts to do service at an area level. How many people are seeing, like, less people coming and wanting to be of service to subcommittees? Okay? You're not having problems with more, right? Nobody has, like, a lot of people coming to area? Okay? Yeah, too many people wanting to be of service to Narcotics Anonymous is not the problem we're having. So, we have one subcommittee. Look, you have phone lines business that needs to be done. The phone lines... If I'm a web servant for our PR subcommittee. If I am putting meeting information on the website that the phone lines person is going to direct a caller to when they call, do you have internet access? We want to know that the meeting information is going to be accurate. So we have it used to be called outreach. We call it outreach. We're going to be calling it group support now. Meeting directory person, it's just doing the same thing, but we're making that happen where that person, I mean, we used to have these, I just talked about it in my last workshop, service silos, like, they're little silos, and I'm an H&I guy, you know, I don't want to talk about NA, I want to talk about me, right, whatever, I mean, are these things that happen, so, we've combined them just to facilitate the work that needs to be done. And basically, the phone lines, you got to make sure everybody gets, we got 42 addicts, you got to make sure everybody, 42 volunteers, you got to make sure everybody gets a directory, make sure everybody, you're answering the phone then. All that stuff's done, okay, and all that stuff's communicated. And if we need a phone lines person, we get up there at the ASC and we take the place hostage. Okay, who's taking the phone lines commitment? Period. Who's taking it? You know, and that's what we're doing. And so we're able to do more with less with this.
But Steve, how did you approach your area?
You know, it was basically the place is burning down, okay, and we got to do something, right? We got to figure out how to do, like there's no phone lines person. The vice chair is chairing three different subcommittees because the chair, you know what I mean? Like all these subcommittees are going away. So we think, you know what, obviously, and they keep on throwing more stuff in the PR umbrella. Like, okay, well, it seems to be working, so let's do it. So once you get it rolling, it's all right. But it's like, I understand, and that's what it was, the scariness. Like, well, I don't really like PR. PR is a mindset. It's not a service silo. Like, I do PI, I don't do H&I, I don't do phone lines, I do website. You know what I mean? It's like a mindset as opposed to a category of service.
Okay.
One more thing real quick, though. One of the biggest benefits that we've had by having such a large committee and combining all of these subcommittees or all these little subcommittees together is having more people. More people, you get more done. You know, like we didn't start off doing school presentations, but now we have other areas coming to us asking us how we do these school presentations. Both me and Bob and a few other members have gone out to these areas to talk to them about these school presentations because we have such a large committee that we're able to do these things. You know, more input, it's more ideas. And
yeah, you might have a phone line volunteer want to be a sit up.
Okay, let me get to this guy. This guy and then that.
What does PAC mean?
Parole and Corrections Team.
Parole and Corrections Team?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm from Northern California, and the PR up in Sierra Foothills. And we're about to...
Do you want to come up here and talk?
No. And we're discussing on how to get the representatives to go into the schools. And I'm not sure... You know, what kind of guidelines am I looking at when I'm trying to find a person to do that? When you guys found your people, what were you looking for? I know we're looking for young people.
Getting off topic again.
Okay, well, schools, that's a whole other workshop.
Yeah, that's a whole other workshop. Okay.
Get with us after
about
this, schools.
And we'll
okay.
Give you all that information.
Yeah, yep. That's just it's a split pitch. You know, and usually I'll just real quick, I try to get a man, woman, and a young addict in there. Three people. And we talk about NA.
I'm Phil, I'm an addict, PR rep for Contra Costa County, Northern California. And the one thing I'm glad is I don't know any other way but the way we do it, which is what you were talking about. PR as it is the umbrella. So we have phone lines under us, the website, yep. Schedules. It's all under us. We only present one report. Mm-hmm. So I put together a report, but we're in communication with everybody within our various subcommittees under our umbrella. Everything ties together. The meeting changes, phone lines needs to know that, website needs to know that,
exactly.
Schedule coordinator needs to know that. So
the directory coordinator is sitting right next to you to where you can...
Yeah, it works very well that way.
I'm Jeff, I'm an addict, and I'm from the West End area of the Southern California region, and we recently decided to go with this PR umbrella thing. And I have some questions about it. I really appreciate the guidelines, because the second draft, the guidelines that people put together for us to review in our area is it's as thick as the Guide to Local Services. So we want to pare that down. But. I have a couple of specific questions. One is, it looks like you have a trusted servant that's the regional representative that will represent the subcommittee at all Southern California regional PR meetings, of which there are none. So how do you handle that? Do you have different members of your PR committee that go to the regional PI phone line?
I can answer that. I'm the regional rep at our
PI. So do you go to all the regional subcommittee meetings?
No, I go to the regional PI subcommittee.
Okay, do you have anybody that knows the regional phone lines?
And my whole, our phone line coordinator can do
your
that.
Your phone line coordinator does that?
Yep.
Yes.
So, okay, and my second question is, and I tried to whisper to Corey and I wasn't getting clear on it, we're throwing, like you were saying, oh, it's working, let's throw everything under there. We're immediately going with putting H&I, and I'm big on H&I.
Okay, Santa Clarita's doing that, yep.
So I don't. I see that there isn't like an HNI coordinator, and Corey was suggesting right. that they have their separate little committee meeting.
Mm-hmm. We have not.
Do they give a separate report in your area, or does the PR chair report for the HNI people as well?
Yeah, that's something that we're working on to be better in communication with our HNI. You know, we're separate right
You're
now
separate.
In our area.
Are there any people that are already doing this, like this guy here? that are already doing it that have HNI incorporated into our PR umbrella?
Our HNI separate.
So you guys are separate.
Okay.
So
Northern California has been doing that. I know that.
Yeah, we're incorporated as well.
Are you from Northern California?
No, I'm here in San Diego.
San Diego, okay. And you had a question?
Yeah, well, my name is John Armanac. And I'm the web servant for the regional, the San Diego region. And we recently adopted the PR umbrella here for San Diego region. I don't know exactly how many months ago, but it's fairly recent. And it's working out, and HNI is part of our PR umbrella. We here in San Diego had an issue because we did not have a phone line chairperson when we had the phone line committee. I think it was like 2 years. And it was, you know, we still had people answering phones and doing all that stuff. We had coordinators, but we didn't have a chair. So therefore, there was nobody there to give a report at the RC meetings. Plus, the RC meetings would last so long. A lot of people, our attendance at the RC meetings was dropping off because people didn't want to spend 4 or 5 hours at an RC meeting. When we adopted the PR model, we had a second meeting. The PR meeting, it's not as long, usually an hour. We get a lot of the business done. We all kind of know what we're doing. We all help each other out. We now have a phone line work group leader, and so that's all working out now. And we have one person to give one report now to the RC.
Nice.
And which has shortened our RC right. by almost, I don't know, almost 2 hours.
Love it.
And like I forgot who said, if there's any questions at the RC, they ask the PR chair. If the PR chair does not have an answer for them, they bring it back and it gets brought back to the RC. The process might be a little bit longer, you know, might go one full cycle, but still working. And it's increased or decreased the amount of time, and it's increased the amount of attendance for people because people aren't doing as much services
as
they used to.
There's
not enough people
stepping
up. So.
Okay, this woman over here.
Natalia added. So Northern California region, some point ago, became a PR umbrella, but they still have an HNI chair and a PR chair that co-facilitate the regional PR and HNI sharing forum. And so some of the areas in Northern California have a separate HNI and PI committee, or an HNI and PR committee, or a comp or a combined PR and HNI. Like, so the area I got clean in, Humboldt, sometime around, I don't even remember what year, transitioned from having two separate committees, HNI and PI, having a combined PR-HI committee that at some point they took all of their PR positions and kind of rolled them into, there was previously a parole and probation coordinator, a schools coordinator, they kept the phone line coordinator, they kept the website. But they had like all these different fair local events coordinator, all these different PR positions that they rolled into two positions, a task coordinator and a volunteer coordinator. The task coordinator's job is to gather information in the community about things that can happen, projects that PR can do. And the volunteer coordinator is like a 6 month clean time position, someone that goes to meetings with sign up sheets. And it's a really cool way to like get, you know, because previously our only newcomer involvement was like we had the stamping table in the back of the room with the literature. But what we found in Humboldt when we, I don't live in Humboldt anymore, what they found when they combined PR and HNI was a reduction in the number of administrative positions required to perform the function. So where there had been two committees that each had a chair, a vice chair, a secretary, a treasurer, and a literature person, putting those together immediately freed 5 people up to perform other functions. And so that's where a big part of the, and reducing the amount of people recording at areas bonus for the
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I too have been a web server in the past and started out my service career, if you will, in public information. And back in the day, there was a lot of resistance to even the idea of informing the public because there were still those who believed that was a promotion in some way. But that being said, we all know that addicts resist change. You know, say gray token to somebody with a lot of years and don't know what you're talking about. But that being said, the ability to be adaptive and combine these things so that they're, you know, I totally agree with the lady, I forgot what her name was, there are problems sometimes in filling positions and being able to put together a realm and consolidate, from what I'm told, is very effective. In the beach area just recently, and I always say that NA's greatest export is hope. We just had an unprecedented election. For those who are feeling, you know, somehow despondent about service participation, we had an unprecedented election where we filled virtually every position. So it's not, you know, if you're thinking service is definitely going away, no, it's not. But if we're poised to be on the balls of our feet on how we people it, we're going to have.
Okay, one more over here.
Kurt from Nevada, Colorado. Really feels my heart to hear you guys talk about this because we've been at this model for a little over 2 years in Colorado in the Pikes Peak area. And we just recently, I was on a phone call with our regional people while I was out surfing, running up the Pacific Coast Highway, briefing them about the umbrella set up for the region that we have been doing in the Pikes Peak area for 2 years. What we have is we have a great resource for fellowship development. When that newcomer comes in and says, hey, you know what? I want to be like you, Matt. I want to do that. I want to go to that institution. I want to go to that place. We can take that fire in their belly, and we can stoke it, and we can get them into a facility that they don't have to be cleared to go on in to do H&I. In that process, we get them assigned to a task right away, and they feel like they're participating, you know? And not just find a meaning, but find a commitment. And a commitment to their recovery. And we're able to take those people and move them through the service structure of their own accord. They find out what they want to do. They get burnt out in one area. They want to, you know, they get burnt out going into a jail or an institution somewhere. They know phone lines because we've all been sitting together. Our hospitals and institutions, people were the toughest of the crowd because they're so committed, they're so passionate about it. They were afraid that we were going to lose something in the process. And all we did was end. We came over and over and over. When we sit down to do our budget, there's no more arguing at the ASA meeting because we've worked it all out. You know, people say, hey, man, I don't need all this money. You guys need some of this money. Take this money. Do this thing. And we're all communicating together. It's a fantastic model. We've had nothing but great success with it. Some resistance, yeah. But as people saw what was happening, and it is a force multiplier. We multiply what we're able to do. What we're able to touch internally and externally and see people come up through the ranks of an angel in service, you know, it just adds. You know, some of us, we get burnt out. We're going to take a break. We're going to get married. We're going to go to school. We're going to do this. And we don't have those voids. We don't have those big gaps. We've got people doing nothing but entering data because there's so much track so that we have this continuity of service within our area. And now within our region as well, when somebody steps down, there's not this empty float period, there's no chair. There's people to support that process, so it keeps giving back into our area. It is just absolutely exciting. Thank you so much for bringing this here in the discussion, because it's been such a success. And when we have all our services together, web, phone, H&I, PI, we have outreach, we've got development, and it just works all on top of each other. It's a beautiful model. Thanks.
Yeah, and this paragraph right here, under flexible service structures, it says, no matter how services are structured, it is important that the structure be accessible for both experienced and inexperienced members. Accessible services means that inexperienced members feel included, and that training and orientation for those new to service is readily and consistently provided. It also means that The area has created ways for members with experience to share and pass on that service experience. An area is more likely to have a strong base of trusted servants if there is an accessible place for members to offer their support. An area's ability to be flexible can allow for more members to be of service. So that's why we have PR reps in our area. You know, it's inviting the new members. You wouldn't believe, you just never know when you're going to have a gold mine of a newcomer.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You just never know. These guys come in and they get their little fire lit in service and they stay with it. You know, I always say, and I just want to thank all you guys here for being a service, you know, for coming here to this WSLD, for what do we call ourselves? Service junkie? No. Service enthusiasts. Okay, another question?
No, just a comment. I'm Amy and I'm an addict from Northern California region. Another cool thing that our region does is we have a H&I PR sharing forum, which has the opportunity of a committee service representatives, or which oftentimes are the area H&I or PR chair or vice chair. And it's a fourth Saturday of every odd month. So they meet six times a year, and that's kind of like a collaborative shared services forum, which I know both Natalia and Phil can tell you way more about it than I can, so if you two will raise your hand if anybody wants information on it. Them two have participated in it quite often, and it's just something that's like really amazing where all the areas meet, or hopefully if they show up, and we also have it set up to where it's either the meetings at the regional service office that we have, they have also have the opportunity to call in, because we have we have 23 areas in our region and spans 7-hour drive from the furthest north to the furthest south area, and also so you can either call in, and sometimes they'll have the meeting at actual events too, like sometimes they'll be at a Unity Day. So, I don't know, it's just something that's, like, really unique and really awesome, like, shared service-wise, so, like, a little bit different.
And some of the services can be project-based. You know, we do this, we do our L.A. County Fair every year, and we don't have a coordinator for that. That's a project-based function that we do. You know, whoever volunteers, who wants to coordinate the fair this year, you know? And we'll get a couple of people to, you know, coordinate all our volunteers. And we send out sign-up sheets throughout the area and get people to volunteer to do our L.A. County Fair, where we sit there and right at the entrance. You know, I don't know. Roger's done it more times than me. We sit at the entrance and, you know, we got our drug problem banner, you know. Narcotics Anonymous can help. And we got our information rack and directories, and we're there to answer questions and or just watch the drunks go by.
They stick us over by
the door. Usually they're giving us thumbs up right on.
What are the numbers on that fair?
What
are
the numbers?
How many?
Thousands of people.
10 up or 100 up or?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're there the whole time, every night.
That's
a project, and you know we actually do that with our neighbor, the other neighbor, Northern California, our Northern Counties on our west side, because our fair is like right on the border of our area, so it's a good way to you know combine our services with our neighbors, you know, and we have fun, you know, being sometimes we'll sit together. Is there any other questions? It looks like I'm a little early on this workshop. Corey?
Yeah.
You want to come up here, Corey?
No, I do it from here. My voice is pretty loud. If y'all want to know what happens when you give a newcomer a chance, because when we started doing this years ago, Bob had 60 days, 90 days, so there's part, okay? 12 years later, 14 years later, look what they're doing. This is taking a shot and giving a newcomer.
17 years for me.
Yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. This was a shot of giving a newcomer, and all he did was take down, this is what's happening with the phone lines. What else?
Well, there's a few other things you report, but the majority of it is the phone line report.
The point is, if you're worried about giving a newcomer a shot to do something, there's your proof. It works.
The biggest thing about having the PR rep in the meetings is there's no money being handled. So therefore, there's no clean time requirement. The only thing they're doing is handling information. But which is also can be given by the GSR, so...
But the groups are autonomous, so we had to have our groups, you know, agree. You know, will you allow a PR rep in your group? That's what it comes down to. So it's not all our groups do it. But you know, like we have, what have we got, like 32 meetings. So we only got about probably 18 of them maybe have PR reps.
The thing about newcomers was always that, you know, we would have a guy with one day clean, but anytime you were in contact with the non-addict public, that's when it was prudent to have an experienced member.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Sort of thing.
It's important that they get proper.
No, I'm not saying to you, but just to make that point clear.
But it teaches them the etiquette of Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah, there is clean time requirement for school presentations. Trust me. Absolutely.
I'm Phil from Northern California. I want to comment on the other thing about PR and H&I, because they are two separate entities, but the one thing about that we do is that public presentation is part of PR. So we do the public presentations, and you know, we screen the areas that somebody that we're going to take a meeting to, and because we'll get calls about that. And so if we feel it out, and it feels like something that eventually is going to become an H&I event or an H&I function, then we'll invite somebody from H&I to come with us, and we'll do a presentation.
Just do it like
then we walk away. Mm-hmm. This way, H&I doesn't go out and do presentations on their own.
Right.
So we handle that for them.
Yeah, one of the things that we were discussing a little while ago was the school presentations, about inviting and bringing H&I into it so we can get a better pull of the young addicts that might do the split pitch. But it's all about, you know, keeping your language clean and stuff, so you've got to be very careful on that.
Be very, very watered down personal story.
Yeah, you can say I use drugs, but don't get into the gory details of it.
Really briefly, another thing that Humboldt found really beneficial from having PR and H&I meeting in the same room together is that if something came up with H&I regarding like clearance, for example, or a relationship with the facility problem, people who were experienced with PR were right there ready to like have a conversation about how we can use our PR skills to help us get back into an H&I facility that we are having issues with. I've heard it said that H&I is like our best public relations effort. And so having those two groups of people together in the same place at the same time really facilitated that communication.
They're supposed to work in tandem, actually. You know, PR gets H&I in the facility with the administrators. And then once they get the panel, then the addicts go in and talk to the addicts.
Even in the old public information handbook, it said that H&I and PI were supposed to work together.
Yeah.
But in public relations, it really stresses it.
Yes. All right.
I'm an addict named Robert, Rio Grande Region, RG. Okay.
Right here.
First thing I got to say is like my region is really sparse, really scattered. And it's interesting to listen to all you guys with your problems, right? And I'm jealous as hell because you've got so much support and people to do this work, okay? Which we don't have. But I want to share a little bit about umbrella idea of public relations and H&I in our region, Rio Grande region. And the way it went was through an addict member committed to H&I who for a number of years went into the correctional facilities, developed a relationship with correctional, what do you call them?
Facility.
wardens and stuff like that who call the shots about who comes in, who doesn't come in, or whatever, developed a relationship in one time, asked, well, could we maybe have an inmate come to our regional convention? And of course, the answer in the beginning was no. But the relationship with these people developed and it kept working. And I would like to share that because of public relation, that relationship developed through H&I that worked with corrections. This coming May will be the seventh time that Rio Grande Region has enjoyed inmates attending our regional convention. Okay? So I wish I could do this presentation on my phone. Anybody like to see this? This is a picture, so you can all see it, right? Okay. This is inmates at this May's convention, Rio Grande Region Convention. And the two people in this picture who are wearing civilian clothes are inmates that attended, that came to our convention last year, were released from prison, got involved in Narcotics Anonymous, and here they are standing with their brothers. So I just wanted to share that because our struggle, we understand how important this umbrella idea is in our communications with the people who have to deal with us. You know, and the miracles that can happen through all of this. So I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Thank you.
That was a powerful
thank
story.
You.
So I don't know. Has anybody else got anything more to say about PR?
I do want to say one more thing, though. The PR umbrella is a really outstanding thing, and the biggest thing to get over is to have an open mind. You know, and coming from a person with time, when you get a newcomer in the room, don't shut them down just because they have an idea.
Right.
You know, because some of our best ideas that we've come up with came out of the mouth of a newcomer. And at first it was shut down, and then it was like, hey, wait a minute, there's something here. You know, just like Bob said earlier, man, about the gold mines. You know, in fact, I think it was a school presentation that was brought up by a young addict, wasn't it? I don't remember something, but anyways, just keep an open mind about the public umbrella, you know, public relations umbrella.
Okay, well, let's circle up.
Oh, we can actually circle up in this room.
Okay, many addicts have said,
take my will and my life.